Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John 10, we're going to read verses 1 to 15 together. As you get there, I'm just going to start reading. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And he who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, recently I had the privilege of being in Brisbane ministering in a church there. I'd been there 5 days and we'd done several meetings, and my family actually flew up on the final day for me to drive down the Gold Coast, and we were going to have a 10-day holiday. So by the time I get to this final meeting, I was like, I cannot wait to get on this holiday. So I hired a car that day. I parked it as close to the church door as I could. And I had this full plan in my head, right? That I was going to preach, pray for people at the altar. And then I was going to pray for people down the aisle and make my way through the foyer, pray for some more people all the way to my car. And then I was going to drive to the Gold Coast and arrive on holidays by midnight. Now, everything was going to plan. The Lord was moving beautifully. There were great things happening in people's lives. I made my way down the aisle, like just praying through the foyer, get into the car, and I'm like, yes, I'm on holidays. So then I go to put the address in my phone of where I'm going, and my phone shuts down. I had no phone battery. Oh my goodness. So I started having a slight panic attack, like, oh my goodness, if I have to pray my way back in and up the other aisle so that I can charge my phone for 15 minutes before I leave, or, oh no, what am I going to do? I just want to get on holidays and I'm having a freak out. Maybe I could just drive 10 minutes down the road, stop at a service station, plug my phone in, charge it for a little while. And then I remembered, hang on a second, I'm from Brisbane. I actually know exactly where I am. I did my first year of university on the Gold Coast. I've driven this road thousands of times. I even know where we're staying. And so I'm having a panic attack, even though I know where to go. And I realized in that moment that even when I know where I'm going, I am wired and you are wired to want to follow a voice. It makes us feel safe just to have Siri saying, turn left in 200 meters. Even when you know where you're going, and especially when you don't know where you're going. And here's the thing. We do have a shepherd who is talking to us, and he wants to lead us. Our passage today actually shows us that the good shepherd calls us by name, and we know his voice. We just read in verses 2 to 3 that he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Now, in this passage, we actually find Jesus in Jerusalem, and he's there for a party. is therefore the Feast of Tabernacles. And Jesus has the Pharisees in mind as he begins to teach this passage, as he begins to talk. You see, in just the chapter before, the Pharisees had actually kicked a man out of community. They'd kicked him out of the church because he got healed. It's that weird healing we all know about where a man spat in the dirt, placed it on the man's eyes, and he was healed. Well, this didn't fit in there, to cut a long story short, didn't fit inside their religious boxes, and so they kicked the man out of the church. And so Jesus is teaching knowing that they're listening. And what he's teaching is that while you're all those with the title of shepherds who are meant to take care of my people, but here you are kicking them out of church, a real shepherd is busy trying to keep people in community. So he has them in mind as he shares two images in this passage that were easily understood in the culture of the time. The first six verses focus on an image of a communal sheep pen in a city just like Jerusalem. So when shepherds would come for festivals, they couldn't just leave the sheep at home. They brought them with them. They would go to a gatekeeper. They would pay a fee to put their sheep in a communal enclosure like a courtyard that had a door. So there would be several flocks in there together. Then they would go and feast and party all night long. And then they would come back the next morning. The gatekeeper would recognize them. He would open the door. The shepherd would stand at the door with several flocks inside, and this word that is used here, call, means to sing song in a melodic tone. The shepherd would stand at the door and he would sing out, and his flock would come out from all the other flocks and follow the sound of his voice. And this is the picture that Jesus uses to show us how we're meant to recognize his voice. Then in a world full of noise, with people all around us who believe all different kinds of things and follow all different kinds of voices, that we would recognize his voice as soon as we hear it. In fact, in Zephaniah 3:17, the prophet says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." Have you ever thought about that? That the Lord sings over you? He rejoices over you with singing. You know, a couple of years ago, Pastor Raph and I had the privilege of traveling over to Perth to launch one of our church locations. And on the Saturday, they gathered together all the potential leaders of the church, and it was Pastor Raph, Corey, and myself, and we were just invited to prophesy over people before we launched services the next day. So we're there and we're introduced to everybody except this one guy who nobody had any idea who he was. And to be honest, he looked like he'd had a hard, rough couple of years, right? He's sitting there with his arms crossed and people are like, "Who's this guy?" And they were trying to welcome him, but he was actually hard to welcome. It was like he didn't know if he wanted to be there. So we go into ministry time, and of course, who does the Lord choose to receive the prophetic word first? Him. And so I think Pastor Corey goes in first and he's like prophesying fire and like big pictures and like boom, 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 boom. And this guy's just like. So then Pastor Raph comes in and he's prophesying this beautiful shepherd's heart over this guy. It was magnificent, wasn't it? And the guy tells me today that all of these words were so accurate over his life, but he's still like. So I'm standing on the side and I start hearing a lullaby. I'm like, "Oh, heck no, Lord. I'll do a lot for love, but not that. I am not going to sing a lullaby over this guy. I think he might stand up and punch me in the face." And then it wouldn't go away. It kept getting louder and louder and louder. So I kind of ease my way across, like, "Oh, please, someone just speak over me so I don't have to do this." Of course, all eyes turned towards me. I said, "You know, I just sensed and saw an image of an older woman, like a grandmother, singing a song over you. And the Lord wants you to know that the last two words that you've heard are from him. And the way he's going to show you that is through this very personal lullaby." And so I'm like, "Oh gosh," close my eyes. "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine." Just keep my eyes closed. "You make me happy when skies are gray." Keep singing, and then I hear this sound. This man is broken. He's weeping like an ugly cry. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm through the verse. Thank you, Jesus, I survived. And then I hear the Holy Spirit say, go again. And this time he takes over. And these other words, I couldn't even tell you what they were. They were so personalized to this man. You know, I just spoke to him on the phone a couple of weeks ago to ask for permission to share this. And I said, what was actually happening? And listen to his story. His name is Dolan. He's now one of the key leaders in that Perth location. He gave his heart to the Lord that day. So what happened is from the age of 2, he had a stepfather come into his life. And that stepfather would beat his mother so badly that when he was beaten, he was taught how to press one button on the phone that would bring his grandparents to drive him away, tend to his needs and his injuries. And it culminated in this one day where he beat his mother so badly that she lay on the floor unconscious and gave birth to his little sister. And he had to help her in an unconscious state, catch his little sister and hold her, press this one button on the phone until his grandparents came. And when they would take him away, he would lay in the back seat of the car, his grandfather driving, his grandmother, he would put his head on her lap and she would tend to his wounds and she would sing to him, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. What was the Lord doing with Dolan that day? He was singing him out of the world. He was singing him out of his brokenness. He was calling him by name. And he was saying, come, follow me and I will make something of your life. Their marriage is completely restored. Their children are in the house. Those two are absolutely incredible. You see, we have a shepherd who sings over us and who calls us by name. Do you know that Satan knows your name, but he will call you by your sin and your faults? God knows your sins, but he will call you by your name and call you up into your destiny. You see, the good shepherd, he leads us and he goes before us. Verse 3 and 4 says he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. You know, it's easy for us in a Western context or in an Aussie context, if you've seen all the good Aussie shows and movies, to imagine that how a shepherd herds his flocks is like on a four-wheeler motorbike with like one of those dogs that's like barking and they're whistling and they're yelling out at the sheep. But you know that in this context, that's not how a shepherd led. It was an intensely personal profession, 24/7 care, where they weren't behind driving and yelling at the sheep to move. Instead, they went out in front, they cleared a pathway, and then they sung and called the sheep. You know, I need to tell someone today that God is not angry at you, he's not yelling at you, and he's not driving you to perform. Jesus is not behind you yelling at you saying, you're not moving quick enough, you're not doing enough. In fact, he's in front of you, clearing a path for you, singing you to himself. This is one of the ways we need to see Jesus rightly. You know, the good shepherd doesn't lead us like that, but this is exactly how the Pharisees were leading. By performance, driving people, making them try and fit all these boxes and rules. But Jesus goes before us, clears a way, and then calls us forward. Verse 5 says, a stranger they will not follow, they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Do you know when the shepherds wanted time off, historians tell us that they would pay someone else and say, here, you wear my clothes, so that hopefully the sheep will recognize my smell and follow you. Did you know that didn't even work? Because they were so intimate with the voice of their shepherd. I think about little David, who used to be out in the back of nowhere as a young man. Ran out of ways to praise God with his voice. So he looked around him and went, I got to create some instruments so I can praise God. Continue to pour out my worship to God. And he makes these little instruments. And there he is with little lambs around him singing worship to the Lord. And those lambs were getting to know the sound of their shepherd's voice. David literally led his sheep with worship. Have you noticed that you and I tend to find it easier to agree with Satan's accusations than we do with Jesus' affirmations? What do I mean by that? You know, when you go to step into something new, maybe lead a life group or to pray for somebody in a cafe, what voice do we hear the loudest? The one that's like, who do you think you are? How do you think you could do that? And how many times, like me, do we shrink back when we hear that voice? What are we doing? We're basically agreeing with his accusations. And yet here is Jesus, who's never done anything but be so faithful to us and come through for us and love us every single time. And he speaks to us like, yeah, pray for that person in a cafe. And we're like, well, Lord, I'm just going to throw out a fleece. And if I have three people in yellow t-shirts come and confirm by the tick of the clock on the seconds in the 12th hour and the 18th minute, and if a unicorn goes leaping across my front yard, then I'll know it's you speaking to me. We got to stop that, hey, because we have a shepherd who is speaking to you. So I've learned to ask better questions. Instead of asking, is this you speaking, Jesus? When I know he is speaking, I think the better question is, why wouldn't this be you speaking? Why wouldn't this be you? Let me tell you, if God's saying to be generous, if you're hearing a voice saying be generous to somebody, it's not the enemy's voice. If you're hearing a voice saying go and pray for that person because I want to heal them, that's not the enemy. That's God speaking to you. That's Jesus working through you to call his people by name and to shepherd them to himself. And the model that we see in this passage is we hear his voice when we let him lead. So if we're not hearing his voice today, really we're forced to ask this question. Are we following Jesus where he's leading, or are we leading and saying, Jesus, come follow me? Because often when we feel like we can't hear God's voice, it's because we've stopped following and taken the lead. Jesus wants to lead you. The problem is sometimes he doesn't work at our pace. And sometimes he leads us places we don't necessarily want to go. Anyone, anyone. And so we're like, oh, that couldn't be God. You see, the closer we are to the shepherd, the safer we are from the wolves. Because the good shepherd saves us and gives us abundant life. Verse 7, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So here in verse 7, Jesus enters his second analogy. That first one was this communal sheep pen in a city. Now Jesus is painting a picture of something that would have been very common to those who were listening. A sheep pen out in the open country that was like a small stone wall built in a round circle with an opening, no gate and no door. And shepherds would pasture their sheep and then lead them into this little round enclosure. And because there was no gate or no door, the shepherd would lay down across the door. So when Jesus is saying, I am the door, this is what he means. That he lays down across the opening of where his shepherd are safely resting and sleeping. That he recognizes when they need to pasture, and so he hops up and leads them out. So if any sheep are in danger, it means that they've had to come through Jesus. You know, I faced something in the last few weeks, I gotta say, really hurt my heart. You know, those moments where you try to believe the best and you go in open-hearted and it just doesn't work the way you think it's going to. And I was like complaining to God, like, why did you let this happen? Why am I the idiot who keeps opening myself up? And then I was reminded of this message I was preparing, that I'm actually designed to live open-hearted. I'm not meant to live with gates and doors across my life. And if something's come in, it actually means Jesus has allowed it. Doesn't mean he caused it, but it means he allowed it. So my question needs to change from why is this happening to me to what do you want me to learn through this? What do you need to teach me about yourself and about me that needs to be refined to be more Christ-like? Let me tell you, if you've got something going on in your life today that feels like it's hurt your heart, the solution is not to shut up our life. Instead, it's to trust that the Good Shepherd has allowed that thing. And in fact, it doesn't until we go through things that are painful and difficult for us, we don't actually discover the depths of his love and his goodness and his care and how much he wants to speak to us. Verse 10 says, the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. This word abundantly means superfluous. It's not just full, but running over, a full and running over life. But in contrast, the thief or Satan here, which the Pharisees represent, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, I just want to hone in on that second word for a second, because there's steal, which is the word klepto. It's where we get our word kleptomaniac, which means that in the same way God can't be anything but good because it's his nature, Satan can't do anything but steal because it's his nature. It's not sometimes he'll steal. It's who he is. He always is. And this second word, kill, is the word thuo. And in the Old Testament, it's the word that was used for priests bringing a sacrifice. So it's not kill like I'm going to come after you and murder you. No, it's more subtle than that. What he does is he makes situations, relationships, the calling of God in our life feel way too hard so that we go, well, if it's this hard, it couldn't be God. And so we sacrifice that thing up on an altar. And in the process, Satan has killed God's plan for you and your relationships and your destiny and your life. I don't know about you, but I know many relationships I've given up on because it was just too hard. Many times I've walked out on what I think God's calling me to because it just felt too hard. Well, this is Satan outworking his strategy in our lives, but God came to give us not just full, but abundant, running over, superfluous life. You know, it was J.J. Packer who said, once you become aware that the main business you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place of their own accord. Do you know that the Good Shepherd knows us and he wants to be known by us? Verse 14 and 15, I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And this word know that's used here is a very intimate word. It's the same root word that is used for Adam knew his wife. It's talking about an intimacy with Jesus that Jesus enjoyed with the Father. It's a very intimate, up close and personal relationship. And this is why Jesus could say, I don't do anything or say anything that I haven't seen the Father doing. That's how I want to live my life. That I'm so intimate with Jesus that I don't do or say anything I haven't seen him doing. And this is how we get to know his voice, in oneness and in intimacy, in time invested in knowing him. Because God is a relational being to know. He is not a formula for us to master. And he is literally singing over you today to woo you and to lead you. He is not unknowable. I want to break that lie off people today that we can't fully know God. He wants to be known by you. And yes, there's always more to know. But isn't that the beauty of chasing a relationship with him, of being open to the mystery and of listening to his voice that's not angry? It's beautiful over us, that sings to us by name and invites us to know more of him, because this is our shepherd. And today he chooses you. You see, the good shepherd is the beautiful shepherd who lays down his life for us. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You know, the second time this word good is used here, it could actually be translated beautiful. So in other words, he's saying, I am the good shepherd, the beautiful shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. He's the shepherd who lays at the door protecting us, but ultimately he was the shepherd who would lay down his life for us. Verse 17 and 18, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. What a beautiful shepherd we have, that he would willingly lay down his life for you and for me. You see, the Father heart of God actually takes the shepherding of his people very seriously. And when we represent him as shepherds on the earth, he also takes that very seriously. And the background of this passage, Jesus was actually, for those who were listening and well-known in the Torah and well-known in the books that they would have studied and memorized, they knew that he was actually referring to a prophecy in Ezekiel where God was addressing shepherds through the prophet. These shepherds were feeding themselves. They were not strengthening the weak. They were not healing the sick. They were not binding up the injured. They weren't bringing back the strays. They were ruling with harshness and force, and so the sheep were scattered. And so God's solution, he says through the prophet, I will rescue my flock, they shall no longer be prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, and I have spoken. You know, right throughout Jesus' ministry, whenever he saw scattered sheep, the word uses a word, compassion, which comes from a word, shplakna, which means Jesus felt it deep in his gut when he saw sheep scattered. When God looked down on his people and he saw Israel scattered, he felt it in his gut. And through Ezekiel, he says, I am going to raise up David, a shepherd, chosen to lead God's people. Remembering, this was that little boy who sat in the back of nowhere, a worshiper who sang over his sheep until they got to know his voice. This was a messianic or a foreshadowing picture of Jesus who would come, the good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep and lay across the opening to protect us. And David would have done this. It's why he was able to say, I've fought lions and I've fought bears, because he would have laid across the opening of his sheep pen and protected his sheep. It was this man that God could trust, because when David saw Israel scattered, if you follow the trail of his life, he felt it in his gut. He had compassion for them. This is the same word that is used when the father of the prodigal son stood up on the mountain and he looked out every day for his son to come. And when he finally sees him coming home, he has compassion. He felt it in his gut because his son had gone astray, but now he was home. You know, spiritual mothers and fathers, when we see prodigals coming back into the house, instead of standing back and going, oh, I know what they did, we should feel it in our gut when they come home and want to run out and throw our arms around them and welcome them home. You see, Jesus takes the shepherding. God takes the shepherding of his people very seriously. And so the man described as the man after God's own heart, David, was the foreshadowing of the man who literally is God's heart, our Jesus. And the good shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd willingly became the lamb for you and me. And this shepherd calls us by name. We know his voice. He leads us and he goes before us. He saves us and he gives us abundant life. He knows us and he wants to be known by us. He is a beautiful shepherd who lays down his life for us. And this good shepherd, he is my shepherd. And he is your shepherd. I love that in Psalm 23, it's David, the shepherd, the man after God's own heart, who says, the Lord is my shepherd. Listen to what he writes about our shepherd. He says, my shepherd provides for me. I shall not want. My shepherd sustains me. He leads me to green pastures. My shepherd leads me beside still waters, and I can rest. My shepherd restores my soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. My shepherd leads me to holiness and righteousness, and it's not a burden to him. It brings him joy to lead me. My shepherd walks with me in the valleys, even when I face death itself. My shepherd carries my fears and loves me until my fears disappear. My shepherd is with me, comforting me when I need it. My shepherd prepares a table for me, and my enemies stand and watch me feast, but they have no seat at the table. My shepherd anoints my head with oil until I overflow. I never need to feel dry. And my shepherd chases me down with goodness and mercy, and my shepherd has a place for me in his house forever. This is your shepherd. And what other reasonable response could there be for us when we see rightly the shepherd who became a lamb for you and I, than to offer our lives back to him and say, all I have is yours. All I am and all you want me to be is yours. And so as the band comes now and joins me, I just wonder if we could stand to our feet. I really felt that today what God wanted to do was to just correct perceptions of who Jesus is, just by one degree. just little shifts in our understanding of who he is. Maybe it was when I said he's not angry at you, he's not driving you, you don't have to work for him. Maybe that's the shift. Actually, he's in front of me, calling me lovingly. He's not whipping me. He's not mad at me. Maybe that's the shift for you. Maybe the shift is, I'm not meant to live with a gate or a door across my heart. I'm meant to live with an open heart and trust the Good Shepherd who lays down in front of me and protects me and provides for me. I don't know what it is for you, but I'm going to ask that we all close our eyes for a moment. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come right now. I thank you for the truth and the power of your word. I thank you that the power is not in how I communicate it, what stories I tell. The power in your word is because it's your word. And it has life. And has the ability to divide within us what is truth and what is not truth. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, come and teach us right now. Is there any way we've been not seeing Jesus correctly? Not seeing our shepherd rightly? Would you speak to us right now as we wait on you? Thank you, our shepherd, that you're faithful to lead us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead us to holiness and righteousness. So we thank you that you're working in this moment, that you're speaking so individually to each person, but you're also speaking to us as a congregation. We welcome your voice. We love your voice, and I thank you that you love our voice. We're not a burden to you. While God is speaking to people and while every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want to speak for a moment to anybody in the room who don't yet have a relationship with the Good Shepherd Jesus. Maybe you're here today because you've been invited by a friend, or maybe you've been just checking it out for a few weeks. However you're here, I actually believe that God called you here by name, that the Shepherd led you here by name. And one of the most beautiful things about having a relationship with Jesus is we don't have to feel our way through life trying to figure it out all on our own. You've just heard me talk about the fact that we have a shepherd who leads us, who we can go to for wisdom and guidance and direction. You see, every single one of us has sin in our lives. These are the things that do not please the heart of God. And each of us inside of ourselves, we're wired to know right from wrong. We all know it, and we all know we haven't always got it right. And that's why God sent his son, Jesus. He loved us too much to live separated or at a distance from us. So he sent his best, his son, Jesus, the good shepherd who would lay down his life for you and me. And Jesus was crucified in a horrific way upon a cross. He bore my sin. He bore my shame. He bore your sin. He bore your shame upon that cross. It was all nailed to his body. And Jesus was taken down off that cross, and he was placed in a tomb owned by a man named Joseph. And there he lay in that tomb, and the people who had crucified him thought they'd had the final word. But 3 days later, the beautiful Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. She began to weep because Jesus was no longer there. His clothes were folded perfectly. She said, "Where is my Jesus? Where's he gone?" And a gardener came up behind her and was speaking to her. She did not recognize who it was. She thought, "Oh, it's a gardener speaking to me," until the man said, "Mary." And when he called her by name, she knew that it was Jesus, that he had indeed been resurrected, that he had walked out of that grave and he had defeated sin and shame once and for all. And when she heard him speak her name, everything changed. Well, today I believe he is speaking to people and he's calling you by name, and everything can change in your life today.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.